Good evening. On this February night, I think tomorrow is the first anniversary of the beginning of the war in Ukraine. I'm quite sure it's tomorrow, in fact. And I've been thinking about that this week. It was hard to avoid because of the news. We had like dueling banjos with Joe Biden in Kyiv, and then in Warsaw, and then Putin in Moscow. The Chinese getting involved, and there's a quote from one of the collections of koans that we use, the Mumen Koan, and the quote is from Master Mumen, who compiled the collection. And it's the first koan in that collection is Mu, which is the first koan that we work on in our lineage anyway. But the quote is, it may be easy to realize the so-called nirvana mind, but wisdom in differentiation is difficult to attain. That wisdom and differentiation is a real sticking point, isn't it? We get so caught up in the differences, so caught up in what is me and what isn't, what I like and I don't like, what is on this side of the river or the other side of the river. And philosophies, beliefs, systems, theories, ways of living, ways of dressing, ways of talking, languages that we speak or don't speak, that world of differentiation, it's really hard to have any sort of wisdom. And that's in full view in something like, you know, this war. In any war, in any, you know, every day in our lives, we encounter this millions of times, but differentiation. But because this is, you know, this war in Ukraine, it's on a big scale, which is an understatement to say big scale, but it's just this screaming example of delusion in the middle of the world of differentiation. So when we say that delusion, in the middle of it, it's to only see the differences. It's to not, wisdom would be to see the oneness in the differentiation, to see what we share rather than what we don't share, what makes us different. Not meaning that we don't see what makes us different, but we continue to see the essential nature that we share. Buddha nature, we call it, oneness, essential nature, true nature, the face of your parents before they were born, original face, all of these things. And our practice is about that, actually. When we sit, we get a glimpse of it. We get a flavor of not focusing on the differences, because we're just sitting there. We're not doing anything. We're not taking action apart from breathing in and breathing out. Our mind is, of course, wandering all around, but at some moment, often, probably more often than you realize, it settles. And there's this great settling into just this moment right now. Nothing inside, nothing outside, say. And yet we're fully aware of where we are. We're fully aware of sitting on a chair, on a cushion. We're fully aware there are other people with us. The place we are, whether it's on a screen or in person, as we say. But we're not focusing on that. We're not. Very quickly we will, you know, we'll start thinking, oh, I want to look at my watch and see how much time is left. Or a dog barks outside and we lose our. We're suddenly like, oh, the dog, and we start thinking about the dog. But there is a second there when it's just this. And because it is so fleeting, that's why it's, you know, he says, wisdom in differentiation is difficult to attain. It's difficult to see the essential world, as we say, in the middle of all this, what we think of as just chaos, abundance of difference. But you know, there's an image that we use in Zen that of a landscape that is covered in snow. Everything is white. Oneness. And yet we can see the forms usually, you know, that there might be a little bump like this, and that's where there's a hill, or there might be a rock, and then there's a little bump, or a tree, or branches of the trees, or something. We can still see the forms, but what we see primarily is the white, the ones. It's all one in snowfall. It's kind of like the reverse of what we usually see. Usually we only see the forms, the differences. But with the snow, that allows us a different, it's a different appearance of things. In fact, we can use that example because it's impossible to see the essential world. It cannot be seen, except in the world of form, in the world of differentiation. There's no other way to see it. It cannot be seen. It cannot be said. It just is. It can be experienced, but it cannot be seen, said. It just is. So how does that apply to the war in Ukraine? This is like a mega focus, like a zoomed in focus on differences. And even a zoomed in focus on beliefs in differences. So, you know, these people who live in the same region, who speak similar languages, in fact, sometimes the same language, have at different moments had different frontiers, you know, borders, some of the great writers, some of the greatest writers that we think of as Russian, one of them, Gogol, was Ukrainian. He was from Kyiv. And yet we focus so much, well, those who are waging war are focusing on what makes these people different. And then we do harm when we focus on that, on only the differences. Because if we see the essential, see, I'm using that just as a phrase, if we realize the essential nature, then we wouldn't be harming in the same way. Although, you know, for those of you who were present during the weekend, the workshop we did during the weekend, you know that we realized it's not enough to realize oneness, to do no harm. We discussed that during the weekend, that how many great spiritual leaders have there been who have realized the oneness, and yet that wisdom in differentiation is difficult. And harm came from it. You know, it's like, I think it's Maizumi Roshi who used to say, realizing oneness is the easy part. Or as we often say, realization is easy. Actualization is difficult. And actualization means applying it in your life, living what you realized. And that's what wisdom in differentiation is. So you can have a glimpse of non-separation. The flower and I are one. I'm not separate from the person sitting next to me in the meditation hall. The homeless person and I are one. We can have these kinds of experiences. But then what do? How we go about in the world is what is is what we call actualization, that is to attain differentiation, wisdom in differentiation. So we can think, well, you know, we can try an exercise. We can say, okay, find something that's similar yet different. I don't know, something that's really similar. I once had a boyfriend who was an identical twin. Joao has twins. I don't know, are they identical twins?
Yes.
Technically, they are, yeah. So I had this boyfriend who was an identical twin. And they did look exactly alike. And yet, they were different. And not only were they different, once you knew them, they became very different, but they were different, you know, they played different sports, they dressed differently, they drove different cars, they had different interests in school, things like that. Their personalities were very different, and yet they looked the same.
They had different girlfriends?
They had different girlfriends, fortunately, yes. I was not interested in the other one at all. It was not my type at all. And yet, you know, they're similar yet different. So how about something that's different yet similar? That seems harder, doesn't it? You know, we could say, okay, all of us sitting are here. We all look different. We're in different rooms. This is probably easier for us because we're all similar because we share this practice. We're all listening to the same talk. It's very different. We look very different. Our rooms look very different. Although almost everybody has some kind of white wall behind them. except me and Antoine, actually. and so it's easier for us to see that because we share this path together, and yet we're very different. But so what is the path that all of us, you know, we could say the earth is if the earth is the path, then who do we share that with? Well, with every living and not living, everything living and not living on the planet. We're all one in that. We could even say, okay, the earth is the path. Well, then the earth's path is also the path of the moon and the sun and the other planets and the stars and space, the entire universe. We're all on the same path. We share that path. We share that nature, what we could say. So when I say path, I mean, I'm saying nature. Yet we don't often think in those terms. In fact, we usually think in terms of what's different. It's hard for us to my niece is visiting me from New York. She's 20, I think she's 23 or 22. And she has some friends who are here. They just finished college and they have various projects and scholarships and things like that. And one of her former classmates has a fabulous project. He had his DNA chart done. You can do this. It's a big thing for Americans where you send in I think it's a blood sample or something, and then they give you this chart of your DNA and all the different percentages of ancestry that you have. So, for example, this guy my niece was telling me about, his parents immigrated to America from the Dominican Republic, which is in the Caribbean. It's the other half of the island that is Haiti. I don't know if that means anything. In French, we say République Dominicaine. I don't know in Portuguese what you say, but so this young man's parents immigrated to New York from this island. So he did his DNA test because his project is for a year, and he has funding to do this. It's amazing. For a year, he is going to the various places where most of his percentages of ancestry come from. And he, because he studied photography, he is supposed to photograph, make a record of his travels and photography. And he's also interested in these places before colonialism, what they would be like if they had not been colonized. So the first place he went was, he wanted to go to Nigeria, but the American government doesn't allow it because it's too dangerous. So the people funding him, the project, they wouldn't let him go there. So because that's where his ancestor, a big part of his ancestor was shown. And so he went to Ghana, which apparently is a similar related kind of ancestry. Well, because like, you know, these frontiers that were made in Africa were made by by the imperial powers that went there. They didn't have those borders there. So anyway, he went there. And while he was there, he met people and was hanging out with them and taking pictures and everything. And they would always joke with him and call him white man. He's not white. But because he didn't eat like they, you know, he ate like white men, I guess. I don't know exactly what, but he didn't speak the local language. He was American, you know? So they joked with him and called him white man. And then he went to Spain after that, because he had ancestry from Spain. And then France, because there's something French there. He will then go to Senegal, because he's also that. And I think there's some German, which is very odd, but because Germany colonized Africa as well. And then he's going to South America, somewhere in South America. But what the reason I'm saying this is that, so here he is in Ghana, and he basically looks like these people. I mean, he has the same color of skin of these people, and yet they call him white man. You know, they think of him as being different because of cultural differences, social differences, ways of walking, talking, eating. They were joking, you know. But he still kind of took it to heart. And it was a new experience for him because he comes from New York where everybody calls him black man. He's found it interesting to be in France where he hasn't felt any of that. I don't know where he's hanging out or who he's hanging out with. But, so it's all of these, the ways that we relate to differentiation are of course relative, because it's a part of the relative world. So as long as we hold on to these positions of, you know, you eat this way and I associate that with a certain type of person, or you eat this food and therefore you are this, or you dress like that and therefore you are that. As long as we hang on to those differences, we miss the basic nature of who we are. I tend to think that this young man probably made connections with these people beyond that, that it was a joke for them. And yet, that was what came up. He doesn't speak French. So he's having, you know, he kind of hesitates. Apparently he's got some big, amazing camera, and that he hesitates to like come into these environments with his big camera and start taking pictures and really trying to, you know, make connections with people and talk with them and everything, when he can't in French, you know? In Spain, he speaks Spanish. In the Dominican Republic, they speak Spanish. But it's not the Spanish like they speak in Spain. And so people made fun of him and started talking to him in English. All of this stuff, you know, I'm just taking this example because my niece told me this story today. It's difficult to move in the world of differentiation with wisdom. It really is difficult. This is the challenge of our practice, of our being, of our lives. And it pervades everywhere. In fact, maybe that's the, it's all pervading the difficulty, which is a way of seeing the oneness. Like Bernie Glassman used to say sometimes, the only thing we share are our differences. The only thing we have in common are our differences. The fact that we're different. We're just different manifestations of the same thing. And when we see that, the absurdity of war is just tragic. Whether it takes the form of, you know, bombings and war crimes in Ukraine, or whether it takes the form of Israelis building settlements on Palestinian territory, even the notion of Palestinian and Israeli territory, or not seeing that we and the rivers and the mountains and the plants and the trees and the cats and the dogs and everything, we're all sharing the same path, this planet. And we do violence to it. Not necessarily because we want to, but it's because we're not paying attention. And then it becomes sometimes wanting to be aggressive because we're not paying attention. So this quote from Mooman is real, and it's at the very end of the collection in a postface, you know, an afterword. It's like almost at the end of the afterword where he says, it may be easy to realize the so-called nirvana mind, but wisdom in differentiation is difficult to attain. So, you know, maybe if we can focus in the differentiation on what we share, you know, it's like when you sit down at a table and there's an argument going on, if we can bring people back to what they share, then the argument is diffused. And we know that in our own hearts as well. You know? How many times have we, you know, like seen, you know, someone will tell me, oh yeah, someone will even say, you know, we have this thing of, you know, I'm not racist. Some of my best friends are Chinese or something, you know. Or I'm not anti-Semitic. My best friend is Jewish. When it's about a personal relation, we don't have any problems. When we have an affinity with people, like on our screen. Although, as we discovered during the weekend, we still have stuff between us, among us, even though we share the same path. And yet, because we focus on the oneness, we have a better chance of practicing with wisdom in the middle of differentiation. So, that's what came up for me this week when I was hearing all about this ongoing war. And just, you know, the tragedy of it. Anyone like to share, comment, question? This or something else? pretty.
Yes, you spoke about last weekend was a retreat where we were talking about something you said. Maybe I missed it.
Yeah, no, you weren't there. I don't know why, but it was, we did a healthy boundaries workshop for 2 days.
Okay.
That's what I was referring to.
I missed it. Okay.
If anyone would like to say anything to let Freddie know what I was referring to, you know, or just maybe shed a little light on it, because there are a few other people who weren't there either. So I don't know. Someone would like to say something about it.
Yeah, maybe you can. We've been looking into how relationships are affected by, as soon as there is some kind of power, people who have power and others who don't have power, what kind of, how to still have healthy boundaries for everybody. And how we ourselves have experienced different situations where there was, where there's power involved, either we having the power or being with a person who has the power, and yeah, there's a lot to explore in that kind of, when you look at it from that point of view. I mean, it's a really vast topic, so I guess it won't be the last time that that comes on the table.
Thank you.
And it is as difficult, I would say, to not abuse of power and be mindful as it is to see the differentiation in the world and and now what do we do with all of that?
I think, Claudia, you raised your hand.
Okay, no, I couldn't. Yes, okay. So, now, you know, it's, so do you hear me? Yes, okay. So, hello, everybody. Okay, I'm kind of laughing because I think that if there is one thing I should have done, it will be a workshop about healthy boundaries. But I don't know why, I thought it was for teachers. So I didn't even ask myself if, you know, when I saw the workshop, I thought it was just for the people who were teachers. Okay. So I didn't even, you know, allow myself to participate because I thought it was not for me, which is, I think, really funny. And something happened to me yesterday. It's exactly the same thing than like to miss the workshop when you really, I think, need something like this. And it was, I wanted to offer a book to someone yesterday, and at, and because I am in Italy, and I saw the title of the book of Fernando Pessoa, L'Intranquille, I hope I'm not wrong about the title in French. Amy, is it that? L'Intranquille?
It has different translations.
Oh,
it's something like that. In the print, in English, it's the Book of Disquiet. I'm sure they could tell you in Portuguese what the name is.
But I think in French it's L'Intranquillité, no?
Something to do with that. There's different translations, but yeah, something like that.
Okay, well, so just because I couldn't remember the title of the book. And this morning when I woke up, I say, ah, yes, L'Intranquillité. And that's very funny because it's really, if I could put a word on my state at the moment, it would be precisely intranquille. I think it's so perfect for, so it's funny sometimes when you miss things like that, like you cannot forget the title, which is exactly what you feel like, and you miss the workshop that you really you really need to go to because you think it's not allowed for you. Oh, I feel it's okay. So I think it's a little, it makes me laugh. Okay, and just so it's not at all what I wanted to talk about, just I don't know if it's exactly related to what you said tonight, Amy, but this is very funny because I spent some time in Italy, and when I arrived here, I was really thinking that it was going to be very, because we are next by the sea, and I thought it was going to be very shiny, with the sun will be shining and it will be very huge light, and it's since we arrived, we are in the mist. Totally in the mist. It's unbelievable. And we cannot even see the sea because it's in the mist. And when I arrived, I was very surprised, and I was very, it was interesting because I was really waiting for something. I was waiting I am in Italy next by the sea. So of course it's going, I had an idea, a very precise idea of it. How it had to look like, and it doesn't look like at all like that. And it's funny because it lasts like maybe 5 minutes. I was like, oh, do I feel disappointed? Like maybe I am disappointed. Maybe it's not what I was waiting for. But it was very interesting because I didn't allow myself to go that way. And I was thinking, okay, no, I cannot. It's better if I'm not waiting for anything. And as a matter of fact, I think this is really beautiful. I mean, I don't know why. It's because everything is in the mist, and there is like a huge beauty of the what it's like at the moment. But it's funny because I'm like it's like a wave, and like during the day, sometimes I'm like, oh, but maybe if it was shining, it would, and it's so interesting to see how my whole body is like, okay, this is beautiful, but maybe it's not what I was waiting for. I mean, it's like kind of an exercise. I'm like, I'm in Italy and I am exercising about my preferences, like, so it's, I don't know. I felt it was related, like to what you said tonight, like trying not to see the differences.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. That is, as you say, I think you said that you don't see the beauty as it is or something like that. You didn't say exactly that, but something like that. And that's true, because when we see the beauty of just what is, then we are experiencing wisdom within differentiation. We see that it's different than a brilliant sun, Mediterranean sea, blue water, whatever it is you were expecting. We see the difference with what it is now, with fog you can't even see, gray sky or something. And yet we totally appreciate the beauty of that gray fog. That's the wisdom, is seeing the difference, but not judging, I guess we could say something like that, or not having preferences, like we say, or holding on to our expectations of how we wanted it to be. Because nothing will ever, ever be like we think it will be. Never. Because the thought is a concept. And the actual experience is something completely different. Yeah, Claudia?
And you know, it even follows me to the museum. Because yesterday I was in the museum and I thought I really fell in love with a painting, and I really stayed a long time there. And so I took pictures of it. I mean, I really stayed a long time in front of it. And when I came back home, I discovered that there was, I discovered that there was the father of Raphael, because in the museum it was a lot of paintings from Raphael and paintings from his father. And the critics, they were saying that the painting of his father, they were like so much lower to the sun. I mean, they were like very medium. There was medium painting. That was funny, because I was very shocked on what I was reading, because he was... I was like, okay, so I was like amazed by the painter who was like a lower painter. So it's even to the, I was like, okay, so even in the museum, they are telling me that what I'm removed from, what I'm moved from, is not like the great painter. So it was like, okay, so this is an exercise outside, but it has to be like this, an exercise inside too, like just to follow my feelings and to follow what I felt, and not just avoid the reading of the books after all.
Yeah. Follow, you know, your Dharma name is True Way, so you follow the True Way, which your heart knows the True Way, always, always. It cannot go wrong. However, we get all twisted up with it, and we have then ideas, and the critics say that you should like this one and not that one, or everybody is, you know, bought up all the tickets for the Vermeer show, so you're a loser if you didn't go, you know. I know, I tried to get tickets 2 days after it opened and they're all gone. You know, so what about just this, you know, little bird on the twig in the street, you know, beautiful. Lisa?
I just, hello, everyone. I just wanted to follow up on what Christine was saying about the workshop this weekend, just to add on a little bit on what Christine described was all what we did on the first day, mainly about what the power and how you draw boundaries and stuff. But then also wanted to highlight what we did on the second day, which we delved in more into actually our lineage and how boundaries have been breached with Genpo Roshi. So we talked a lot about that, and then went into how within our own Sangha or around our Sangha, if there had been or people had felt or experienced breach of boundaries. And so it was very, it was first the concepts and then zooming into our own practice and how it affects also our practice. And one thing that I remember and that I think we were a lot of people mentioned it and struck us is the difference between, awakening and growing. Is it like that? That that you said it?
Waking up and growing up.
Growing up, waking up and growing up. And how some people have great awakening, and Amy mentioned it, but it doesn't mean that when you actually in your life and in life that you actually can live up to your awakening, let's say. And so there's the growing up side next to it. So yeah, so I thought I wanted to share that as well.
Yeah, that's an important point, because if we understand the concept, if we had been in situations where we had experienced people who abused power or misused it, and how that felt, or if we had witnessed that in our workplace, in our families, various situations at school. But then the next day we went into the blood and guts and the mud of our own lineage, which is covered in shadows, because there's been a lot of not only our lineage, lots of different lineages have had troubles, but ours is what concerns us deeply, because that's where we are. So we did go into that. And that's important, because that is touching on wisdom and differentiation is difficult. It may be easy to realize the oneness and have a great awakening, but putting it into practice in your daily life and with your students, if you're a teacher, or among yourselves as Sangha members, or, that's where the messy stuff is. But the beauty of it is that there is nowhere else to fully live that realization of oneness. This is the only place it can be fully lived. In your very life as it is. The Buddha, it was like he pointed to the ground when Mara challenged him. And it was like, I take the earth as my witness. This is the throne of enlightenment, where I am sitting right here on this ground under this tree. It's the same for you. Sometimes it's like I say, sometimes that's the good news and it's also the bad news, because this is your life. You're not going to get another one. And there's lots of stuff you would like to get rid of, but actually don't need to. the lotus blooms in the mud, in muddy waters, like we say in Orioki, you know, we say, may we exist with purity like a lotus. May we exist in muddy water with purity like a lotus.
It's sometimes it depresses me, nevertheless, when I see all this mud, you know?
Yeah.
And if I think of people who have had deep realization and they still have their feet in the mud, you know, I was really shocked on Sunday morning when I heard all of that mud that is there.
Yep. And that's why, like I always say, like I even said on Sunday, I said, it's just such a tragedy that, and a shame. Of course, lots of people are hurt by it. People are turned away from the path by it, by these, you know, they can't take the lineage seriously, or they can't take the tradition seriously, or they're so hurt by it, they can't trust it, they can't trust the teachers. Even, you know, even worse, they have trauma, and it's just tragic. And yet, can we just include that as part of who we are? You know? In our personal families, we all have stuff that is not so glorious, probably, you know. Parents did stuff, or our ancestors did stuff, or our country, you know, I'm from a country that is just terrible. Debbie too, you know, we're like, this is just horrible.
Me too.
yeah. It's just like, just what, you know, what a legacy we carry. And yet here we are, you know, so what do we do with that? That's what matters. You know, what do we do with that?
We are together.
Yeah.
But I've been feeling very much the same way, Christine. I've had several conversations around the theme of the weekend since then. One at Donna, because I was there Tuesday morning, and then with friends, that it's hard to, my personal feeling is that what I do personally, and maybe what happens sometimes as a group, is we overestimate the capacities of human beings to be respectful, that we're just monkeys with computers, and we act like monkeys. But in the meantime, I fall into the trap of thinking that that especially if someone speaks well and tells a good story or has a lot of charm, that they are a little bit above that level. But maybe that's that, for in my case, what I'm asking myself is, maybe isn't that my problem? That I think we're more than monkeys with computers, and we're not really. I mean, if you, we all have access to all these wonderful animal shows all the time. And my students, when I took them, I would take them to the zoo every single year, the 12-year-olds, they never saw any other animal. They stopped in front of the monkeys. They were totally fascinated because it was just like them. There's the big monkey that kind of pushes everybody around, and then the little ones that are trying to get into the power group. I mean, maybe my feeling sometimes is that I'm expecting too much, but I'm kind of depressed right now too. And then Amy Roshi starts with the situation in Ukraine. I mean, it's the proof that we're not doing very well. I don't have anything to add, actually, after saying that. I don't have a joke now.
And yet, And I think part of the reason too is that, you know, can we see that we become depressed and dispirited? Because of course, yes, we would like it to be different, but also on some level we know that it is. And yet we feel helpless to, or we don't know how to see through it. You know, it's really, again, it's, you know, how can we bring wisdom into the world of differentiation? And somehow, you know, if we really didn't have a sense of it in our hearts, of there being this oneness and something that we all share, we wouldn't even care, you know. We wouldn't be upset or dispirited. We wouldn't even care. It's just what it is, you know. So, and the best way to realize this, you know, within the context of our practice is sitting, you know, sitting. And it's good, as I always tell people, you know, I always say it's good to have a regular practice. Someone was telling me the other day that he sits every morning and every night because otherwise he just doesn't feel good. He really notices if he doesn't. No, it's not at night. I think it's, he sits when he wakes up in the morning and then he sits before he eats dinner. And, you know, it might be just 10 minutes, but he notices he doesn't do it. This is a longtime practitioner, you know, so he's very familiar with the process and what it feels like. But so are you, everybody on the screen. Has been around enough to know what it feels like to sit and what it feels like not to sit. So look at that. Yeah, look at that. It's not that one is better than the other, but the consequences and the feeling is different. So we're out of time. We'll have to stop here. I'm sorry if anyone wanted to add anything. We'll have to wait. Thank you. So I guess we'll do the vows.